The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, BronxPinstripes.com proudly brings to you the most exciting Yankees podcast in the world, George's Box.
Welcome back to George's Box. I'm JJ.
I'm Nick.
I don't know. It's not the worst day to be a Yankee fan. It's definitely not a great one. We're not having the most fun right now.
We're not. But I think all things considered, and I do think we're going to disagree on this. So like a lot of times we just agree on things and it almost makes for a lesser podcast because there's, oh, you agree, I agree, move on. I think we're going to disagree on our satisfaction level or our optimism level with the Cole situation. I'm feeling pretty good about it, and I'm guessing you are not. Is that accurate?
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't trust one, anyone who's like, well, when the news came out that, like, you know, it's only going to be 1 to 2 months, like after we got the reports from like the Yankee doctors, and then we got the reports from, what is the doctor's name in LA?
Ella Trosh.
It looks like a fake doctor, like someone who'd be on Arrested Development or like something like that. Like it just doesn't look like a real name. And people are like, well, this is the best case scenario. No, it's not. The best case scenario is he's fine.
Of course. No, you're right. The best case scenario is we're getting ready for him to take the ball in Houston in 10 days. But when you go into an MRI tube, basically the best case scenario is that you come out with a quote unquote clean MRI, meaning the UCL is intact. And to me, this was like the anti-Seve. You remember when we signed Cole and you were kind of talking about how Seve was immature and Cole was going to change the pitcher room and all that. And like Seve never wanted to get in the MRI machine. He didn't want any testing. He wouldn't listen to anybody. Then you got Cole. He's getting CAT scans, dog scans, MRI, X-ray, going to three different doctors. Like I like how thorough he was and how he uncovered every rock. Like I did kind of like that.
Yeah. I mean, I like that you hear, hey, you know, here's the results. He's going to go see a guy in LA. And then like 20 minutes later, there's like some paparazzi harassing him at LAX.
It's crazy.
Like, I did like that. Like, I don't want to see him obviously like being harassed, but I liked that. I was like, oh, okay. This isn't like he'll get around to it. You know, oh, he's got to make sure that like, you know, the house is closed up before he goes or whatever. Like, no, he was there. He's on the plane. And I mean, that is who Cole is, that like he wants to get this figured out and get, you know, get through it. But, you know, it, yeah, 1 to 2 months, but it's, you know, I think the latest I read was like it's 1 month of no throw.
Yes.
And then it starts to build back up if everything's OK after the 1 month. So, I mean, there's still so much that could go wrong.
Oh, of course. No, I know that. But I mean, and I'm not saying, oh, I'm not penciling him in for Memorial Day weekend, but I do expect him to be in the second half of the season back as Gerrit Cole. Like that's my expectation. Could things get pushed 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever. But if the UCL is intact, which the 7,500 test that they did shows that it is, there's no partial tear, there's no sprain, there's nothing like that, and he does the rehab correctly, I expect him to be Gerrit Cole in the second half as they push toward a playoff spot and a possible World Series run.
Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of other guys to talk about before we get into the World Series. Yeah. You know, I get it. You know, I get that, like, being down on the team this early in the season sucks, and I don't want to be down on the team. But there is a bit of, like, it was still Cole and Prey, and now it's just Prey, and hope isn't a strategy. And
oh, you're right.
You know, we're going to talk more about, you know, the DJ news. We're going to talk about, you know, it's Monday, and Judge was supposed to play on Saturday. Now he's supposed to play on Wednesday, but there's a lot of supposedes going on.
A lot of supposedes going on. That's a great line. No, and I know it's not great, but again, like, if we would have come and Wednesday and they go, oh, you know, torn UCL out for the year, to go from last season to that would have just been just so deflating. I can't even think about it. So the fact that we didn't get that is just kind of giving me a little bounce. Candidly, yeah, that would have just been so terrible.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have to trade Soto yet. I tweeted that after we recorded, and people were like, I love when I tweet things out that, like, on the podcast I go through, and you could see where it's like, maybe it's not the easiest decision to get to, but most of the times where I throw out trading Judge, trading Soto, you start off as like, you're insane. But then I lay it out and you're like, all right, I could see it. Like, you're not fully on board, but, like, you see, I'm not just saying things to say things. And I can't give all that context in a tweet. And so I love people just being like, what the fuck is this guy smoking? Or, oh, there you go. You got your engagement. Dude, I post like one tweet a week. I'm not looking for
it. There are people out there that are just engagement farming, but I know you're not that. But yeah, the Judge example is perfect. Like, I remember the first time you brought that up, I was looking at you like you had three heads. And then eventually I really got to a point where I was like, oh, like, maybe we could trade him and give that money to Rafael Devers, or give that money to somebody else that's younger, like a Corey Seager. But you're right. When you don't have that context on Twitter, it's hard to really to get the full picture.
Yeah. And, you know, we're paying more than $1 million per home run.
Yeah, let's go to, so we'll move to Judge and then we'll get back to the rotation. So Judge, this whole thing is the most classic, you know, 2020s era Yankees injury updates. Starts, he's removed after two at bats, and we were told, oh, that was always the plan. He was supposed to come out in the fourth inning. A couple days later, he doesn't play. He's then, quote, mid-spring beat up, another great term invented by Aaron Boone. Then it was sore abs. Then it was, oh, he had an MRI that came back clean. Then, like you said, he was supposed to play Saturday the 16th. We are recording. It's Monday afternoon on the 18th, and he is now maybe going to play Wednesday the 20th. I'm starting to get a little concerned.
Yeah. I mean, because this is the time where, I mean, he's got 14 at-bats.
Jesus, that's really low. You're right.
You need, realistically, when you talk about just being ready, and I get it, he's Aaron Judge. He's the greatest baseball player of all time. when you really start to think about it, these guys need normally 50 at-bats, at least 30 at-bats to be ready to go for the season. We're at 14 and, you know, we're 10 days away.
And he's also not going to play back-to-back days. Even if he does play Wednesday the 20th, he'll maybe play again the Friday, maybe again that Sunday. And they're going to want to play him in back-to-back games before Houston. And to be honest, is he going to be ready by opening day? That's not what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about this toe that maybe is fully healed, maybe isn't, this ab thing, and the idea that they're going to be throwing him out there in center field every night for at least the first half of the season. Like, this is just... it just does not look good on paper right now.
So looking at his spring training stats, right? Last year, he had 40 at-bats. In 2022, he had 32. 2021, he had 43. 2020, he had 7. But that was COVID. Yeah. 38, 45. 2017, 63.
Wow, a lot of burn. Well, he was battling Hicks for that right field job. Remember
yeah.
that? Man, that feels like a lifetime ago. So he needs what? You figure 5 at-bats a game. What, five more games to feel four more games to feel comfortable?
I mean, even if he gets to like 30. So he needs 4 at-bats 4 times.
4 at-bats 4 times. Yeah.
I mean,
honestly, this Houston, I don't want to push him to get ready for Houston, though. Like, they're probably going to get trounced in Houston anyway, if we're being honest. I don't, and playing on, I think it's turf in Houston, right? Or it's a dome. Like, do we really need to push it?
I mean, yeah, it's, I mean, there's a lot of like, there's a lot of like, well, we just want the, we want him to be ready. We want Cole to be ready, and we're ready for them to come in and like to make that push. But at a certain point, you don't have any push.
No, I'd rather be get him ready for the home opener, which I'll be at, as opposed to pushing it for Houston. But I think the bigger problem here is like, obviously we were so excited when they acquired Soto and to a lesser extent Verdugo to get some lefty bats. But then once the dust kind of settled and the euphoria wore off, it was like, oh shit, Judge is going to be 32 and he's going to have to play center every night until Dominguez gets back. Like, fuck.
If only someone had pointed out his age multiple times over the past couple of years.
I'm with you. Look, it wouldn't be, and it wouldn't be a concern. I wouldn't be concerned about it if it was right field or even left field, but center is a ton of running.
And with an abdominal issue too, not great. I will say that it is, it's weird to get push notifications of like Alex Verdugo drives in a run and to not like want to throw up a little bit.
It's funny. I don't even get, I don't get those. Any of the push
notifications. I get the push notifications for when the game starts and when it ends and every score.
Interesting. Okay. I feel like that would get depressing at points. Like if they're down 7-2 and it's like Devers homers again. Like,
yeah, no, but then I'm in the pool, so I'm not really.
Right.
And I don't know what happened, but like something happened. Maybe I have to like uninstall or reinstall. I get the notification on my watch, but it doesn't show me what the notification is. It just says that something happened. So then I got to go to my phone.
Completely random. But before, I don't know when you got an iPhone or a BlackBerry or a smartphone, but I remember when I had like a flip phone in high school, like 2008, 2009. And I would actually, through somebody was like SMS text message, it would be like Johnny Damon homers to right field, Yankees lead the Blue Jays 1-0. Did you used to get those back in the day?
I would download, like there was like an ESPN app or something like that where I could get scores. And then I'd get like a fucking phone call from my mom being like, you paid $5 for this or whatever. Like the apps are crazy expensive or like the data was through the roof. And she'd be like, your dad's not going to see this, but you got to stop it.
This is going way back. I'm dating myself a little bit, but so the MLB package came out in 2004, I believe. So like up to that point, if the Yankees weren't on national TV, sometimes me and my dad would just like sit in front of the computer, you know, game day where it's like ball in play, run scored. There was nothing more exhilarating than like being down in the ninth and Soriano's up and you just see in play multiple runs scoring. You're like, what happened? What happened, man? We are so spoiled now.
Yeah, it's so much easier now. I remember around like that same time we'd be in college and we just had the baseball package. So yeah, we could watch like every game on cable, like every room had cable. And before that, I would hook up with a girl who had like the MLB TV thing. I'd get her like password.
Like
every year.
Just like February, March, start scouting around.
Yeah, like
who's got
like,
the package?
Like right before I met my wife, like I was hooking up with her for like for the login information.
That's awesome. But yeah, Judge, very, very concerned about Judge. And the other issue here is that like if Stanton, like I want Judge to DH half the time, right? Like with the toe, with the abs, but you know, you're gonna have Stanton stuck there. And again, if Stanton is hitting, like Stanton needs to have a short leash. And my given, and Soto's going to need DH days too. Like this outfield configuration with really not having a true center fielder that can play every day. I know they have Grisham and then having Stanton and Soto who it's, I don't know that.
I mean, Stanton's batting 250. He's doing everything we hoped for.
That'd be what? 80 points higher than last year. That'd be like Ted Williams for him.
Yeah. With one home run.
That was crushed though. It was.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it for you. It was the problem with A-Rod at the end of his career.
Yes.
Like, unless you have a David Ortiz, which like, you know, freak show hitting the way he did that late in his career. Like, it sucks to have your DH spot just, you know, being one guy. And like, yeah, there are teams who would go into it who really weren't going to be in contention, and they'd sign a Nelson Cruz. And then, you know, you trade for Nelson Cruz for the second half of the year because now you've got, you know, things kind of settled, and you know what kind of Nelson Cruz you're getting, and where he's going to fit in to try to make a playoff push. But like, Stanton's not that guy. And it's really like, it's really unfortunate, because when you think about it, let's say, you know, in a couple of weeks, Judge is fine, right? So now we're going out there and we've got Soto, Judge, and Verdugo. Occasionally you let Grisham get in a game, but you're not going to really get a ton. And then you've got Oswaldo, who will maybe see some, you know, punt lineups.
God, do not want to see him at all.
I, you know, but when Dominguez comes back, you know, someone will be injured by them. But if it's not, then like, is Grisham gone? You know, probably, but there's a lot of versatility in him.
Yeah, there is. And he's like, he's a left. I just look at him as a left-handed baiter. Like, he's going to be spunky. You use the golden retriever kind of comparison there. He's not going to hit great, but maybe he'll hit a couple homers. He'll play a great center field, draw some walks. I think their plan is, I think any game they're leading in the seventh or the sixth inning, they're going to put Grisham in center. They're going to move Judge to right. I guess slide Soto into the DH and then maybe sit Stanton down like after the seventh inning, if you can do that.
I think you could slide someone into the DH role.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think they changed that rule. Like,
I never grew up, like, we never did double switches or anything. Like,
yeah, no, that's because you can't switch.
Okay.
He can come out of the game, but like, someone can't. You could put a new DH in, but you can't move someone from a position to a DH. The way you said it, I was like, did they change that rule?
I was asking you.
No, I mean, it's going to be interesting, because it might be like, Grisham goes to center, Judge goes to left, Verdugo goes to the bench. Because unless it's a blowout, unless you're up by four runs, are you going to you can't take Judge out of the game in the seventh inning.
Yeah, honestly, this is Judge in center field. This is a disaster waiting to happen. The thing that's alarming is when he said that the toe is something he's going to have to manage for the rest of his career. Like, when I hear shit like that, I'm like, why didn't you just get surgery? Why do you want to deal with this for the rest of your
career? Dude, he's treating it like it's type 2 diabetes. Like, you could solve this. You could solve this quickly.
DJ did the same thing. Was it 2 years ago? He hurt his, you know, and that's a perfect segue, perfect transition here. August of 22, DJ, whatever, stubs his toe, hurts his toe. He's done for that year. And then apparently it took him until the All-Star break of 23, basically a full calendar year, to get back. And what do you know? The other day he fouls a ball off of that same foot, quote, a pretty significant bone bruise. Boone isn't sure if he'll be ready for opening day, which in Booneism means absolutely
he's
not.
Dead. He's dead.
He's going to start on the IL. And look, you don't have Peraza, so you're looking at Oswaldo Cabrera playing third base every day as of now.
Yeah, could have a Gold Glover there, but now he's got a beard in Toronto. I think I'm going to find a way to mention IKF in every episode.
I think you're like 5 for 5 or whatever this year.
Yeah, he is. And like, they're seamless. They're seamless transitions.
Yeah.
I almost, you know, he drove in a run against us the other day, and I was like, yeah,
good for excited.
Him. Good for him.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
No, I mean, when we did the first show of this season, the big thing was nobody's hurt.
That was fun.
We were so excited. That has fallen apart so quickly. Like,
yeah, it's depressing. And it feels like it doesn't happen to other teams. It feels like it's just us every year. Like,
it probably does. Because, like, isn't Verlander not going to be ready at the beginning of the season?
It's true.
You know, like, they're... You know, but they win World Series sometimes. So, right. You know, and it's crazy. Like, you know, Snell and Montgomery are still out there. And now I understand, like, we need pitching. But the amount of people who are like, we should give Montgomery whatever he wants. When, like, a year and a half ago, we were like, this guy won't make the playoff roster is crazy.
The revisionist history of Jordan Montgomery, like, needs to be studied. Do you know how many big games we showed up and he let up a 3-run home run in the first inning? I would know, because I felt like I was in the building for all of them. Like, this was, he was not dominant as a Yank. He was an okay number three starter. And now people are talking about him like he's this ace.
It's desperation.
Snell at least has the upside of being a Cy Young winner. Jordan Montgomery does not. Like, I understand pounding the drum for Snell at least. He just won the Cy Young.
Yeah, I just, like, how long is this Snell thing going to go on for?
Do you see the Astros report on him?
I heard, like, they offered him, like, $25 million a year for, like, 3 years, and he wants, like, $33 million a year.
He asked for 66 over two. Like, to go from, I think in the Boris's original ask was 9 years, 270. And now they're talking about 60 million, 70 million. Like, this has been stunning.
Yeah, 2 years with an opt-out after the first year. That's what it was.
Would you give him that?
33 for 2 years with the opt-out. Maybe. I'd give him maybe 30 because, like, I do think that we need, like, and we're going to talk about the rotation, but, like, we are in serious trouble because the odds of Cole being 2 months and coming back as Cole are very slim. 3 months and then being Cole, maybe.
That's where I'm at. Yeah.
You know, but I mean, that's 3 months of season. And, you know, we've got Nestor's the opening day starter, which, like, great. You know, Nestor made an all-star game 3 years ago. So, you know, it's, you know, he's getting shouted out at Trump rallies.
When Trump was like, oh, that fastball. I was like, all right, yeah. You never watched Nestor.
He really, it was, that was like a Trump thing that I loved. I also love, I know some people hate when we do the politics stuff, but I also love that Trump, whenever he, like, meets, he'll meet, like, union workers or whatever, he always like, all right, good luck. He says good luck to everything because he's used to just starting golf tournaments. Like, that's what he does. So it's always like, all right, good luck. Get him. I'll see you at the halfway house. Yeah. The Halea kid, he's got that fastball. Yeah, so we've got him, Rodon, and then is it going to be Schmidt? And then Stroman's doing the home opener? Because Stroman's got the home opener.
So yeah, game one is Nestor. Game two is Rodon. Game three is Stroman, which lines Stroman up for the home opener. And Stroman's facing his former
team. Are we only two games in Houston?
Four. That's what I'm saying. I hate the way they start the season. Sorry, go ahead.
So, wait. So it's Nestor, Rodon,
Stroman.
So Stroman's going to pitch in Houston. And then the home opener.
Yes. It's a Saturday and then a Friday.
Gotcha. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So I guess Schmidt would get game four, which is the Sunday in Houston. Whoever gets the game five, they go to Arizona. This start of the schedule, man, really bothers me.
I do get, like, I've seen a lot of people complaining about, like, how Stroman didn't want, like, the, you know, opening day. I get it when you're, like, this far into spring training. Yeah. And you're like, listen, I'm on a schedule. He's got a lot to prove. And, like, honestly, if you tell me I could start game three and then the home opener, I'm going to fucking take that over starting game one in Houston.
The home opener is way more appealing than a road. I don't even think it's close, dude. You want to be at Yankee Stadium. And you think about it, like, for me, selfishly, there's a lot of people like me that spend a lot of money on home opener tickets. I don't want to see Clark Schmidt or fucking Will Warren or Weaver or Beeter, any of these guys. Like, with Cole out, I want to see Rodon or Stroman on the home opener.
Yeah, I'm all for it. But, yeah, I mean, it's a prey situation. And, like, if Nestor goes out there and he wheels and deals and he does all his funky, you know, leg kicks and he gets us through that game and you know, the bats show up, great. But there can't be a lot of confidence that we have. And now at this point, there is the, like, what has Snell been doing? Like, obviously he's been working out. I don't think he's just sitting on the couch. But, like, if you sign Snell tomorrow, how far is he away from being able to start a major league game?
With at least 3 weeks. At least 3 weeks. I would think that would be like the bet dream scenario. Would be 3 weeks from signing. 3 weeks from the passing tweet or whatever.
Yeah. And, you know, he's also like, you know, he's got to be on the roster so that you're eating up a roster spot.
Yeah.
He's a big leaguer.
Right.
So he's got to be on there. He's got to learn, you know, to work with Trevino.
Yeah, no, I don't think they're getting either. I think it's pretty clear at this point they're not getting either of those guys. Like, I think it's pretty obvious.
I mean, he might be out of the league at this rate. Things are going.
Can you imagine what he's like? I would love to just be a fly on the wall. He must be going nuts and has to be furious at Boris, right?
You know, I don't know how long he's been with Boris and like what the trust is, but at the same time, it's. Like, it's always Boris guys who are like this. Steve and Drew, you know, Bryce got into camp late. Like, it, you know, there's been so many of Boris guys this year who were getting signed late. And now he's got two guys sitting on, you know, these guys who are going to get all this money sitting at home. I do imagine there are times where he's got to, like, seriously fucking talk them down.
Yeah, I do. You got to imagine, because these guys are creatures of habits. They're used to being in camp by now. And it's one thing if it's like late February, but now once you get into a week of opening day, I think the issue with Boris is he's treating these kind of B+ free agents like A free agents, like Bellinger, Montgomery. Like, these are not A+ stars like a Soto.
Yeah, Snell's not Cole.
No.
Yeah.
Or Soto or some of the other guys that he reps or Bryce Harper. Like, they're just not.
Yeah. I think, you know, I wonder if there are, right, and I don't know, like, the legality of how it all works, but I wonder if any of these guys just come close to being like, fuck, Scott, you're fired, and then just, like, I'm going to just call around right now and figure out my own
deal. Yeah, at least get a one-year deal to just get situated. Yeah,
find some team to give me 1 year, 35 mil, you know. Worst-case scenario, I end my career. I still never have to worry about money again.
Yeah, no, I'd be completely done with him. Who do you want to get the fifth starter spot? So I was thinking it was going to be Luis Gil. He'd been dominant, touching 99, ton of strikeouts. Eric Bolin came out with a story on Sunday. He seems to think that, I guess, Will Warren is the favorite. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know enough about these guys. I thought it was going to be Gil. Like, I thought it was, you know, kind of same thing. He's throwing hard. Throwing hard can get you by for a little bit. I think it's going to be some musical chairs. Like, I don't think anyone's going to, like, grasp that role.
Tell you what, seeing Gil on the mound does something for me. He's got swagger. He's got those neck tattoos, big chain. Like, I feel like when he gets on the mound, hitters are scared of him. He kind of like Michael Pineda was kind of like that. I know he sucked, but, like, he had a mound presence. As opposed to these, like, you know, these, like, preppy little white guys that aren't as intimidating. I think Luis Gil could be a dominant force in the rotation. He's got that presence. He's got that swagger. I just want to watch this guy pitch. I'm really excited for him.
Mayo Pineda had that swagger unless he gave up one run in the first inning.
Right. Then it was gone.
Then it was fucking done.
But I mean, the thing with Heel is he hasn't thrown a ton of innings past few years from the Tommy John. So maybe they're going to use him in the bullpen. But I feel like just when you watch him pitch, like he's clearly the best one out of these guys. I don't think there's any question.
Yeah. I kind of thought like if it's a Tommy John and like it's an inning situation, it'd kind of be perfect to have him be the fifth guy to start the season. Move him either to the bullpen or skip some starts in AAA in like the middle of the season as Cole comes back. And then you can kind of bring him back later for the playoff push everyone's excited about.
No, it's and look, the issue is a lot of these guys that would have slotted into the spot were gone for Soto, right? Vasquez, Brito, Thorpe. So like they did King. So like that was the one, the combination of giving up all of that pitching for Soto and the Cole injury is just a tough combo at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, again, Cole's not out for the season, but if so, it is the like worst case scenario of you've given up the replacements for the worst injury that you could get. But again, none of those guys are going to be Cole anyway. So like,
right,
you know, at least you still have Soto. Soto may, bat 350 to keep you in it.
He could. And look, Rodon against the Phillies pitched into the sixth inning on Monday and didn't allow a hit. Joe Torre came to got him. That was cool. But look, if he can be 2022 Rodon for the 2 months or 3 months that Cole misses, that would be enormous. Like that would be bigger than any other replacement or guy they could call up or trade for or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I think in this situation, again, like I think Nestor is, could be a really good three. Well, he could be a good three. I think he's a great four. Rodon does have the ability to be an ace.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't always have the health to be an ace, but if he could go out there and act like an ace while the ace isn't there, and then he comes back, and then you've got two aces. And again, Stroman's an ace on some teams. He was an ace on the Cubs last year.
No, for sure.
And we're asking him to be the number three. Then all of a sudden you find yourself in decent shape, provided you're not hanging too much of your season on Oswaldo Cabrera.
You know why I like Stroman is the floor is high. Like, he's going to throw strikes. He's going to keep them in every game. He's not going to get lit up. Like, he's probably going to be healthy. He's going to get a lot of ground balls. Like, he's not going to go out there and spin eight shutout innings, but I am confident that every game that he pitches, he will give them a solid chance to win. And you need guys like that.
I think Stroman's also going to, I think he's really going to give a fuck.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I think he's a guy who, when you look at Rodon last year, we were really bothered, not just because of his injury to start the season and poor performance, but it also seemed like he was like, well, whatever, I'm out here. Like, yes. His wife jumping in. I think if Stroman struggles, he's going to wear it on his sleeve. Whether or not he can rebound from that, well, I don't know. But I think he will, show that he gives a fuck.
And I also think that's partly based on where you're from. I forget if Rodon's from like the Midwest or Florida or something, but when you're from the Northeast and you grow up in a sports crazed environment, like where we grew up, whether that's Boston, Philly, New York, you understand how much it means to the fans.
And Miami. I don't think he's from Miami.
Yeah. So no.
Rodon's
so
from Miami. Yeah. No, that's soft.
So
no.
Right. Yeah. So he didn't get it. Next week's going to be really positive because we're going to be excited about opening week, but I have to complain about the schedule here. So they have four games in Houston. If you could pick any place for the Yankees to open up, Houston, maybe other than like Oakland or the Trop, would be my last pick. It's indoors. It's a team that's been bullying us for a decade. It's also four games instead of three, which I don't like. Then they go to the National League pennant winners in Arizona and play a bunch of games at 10 o'clock. Then they have Toronto at home and then Miami. So that's their first four series are against playoff teams. I do not like that. I would like a softer opening, if you will. This is a little much for me.
So I'd rather go to Houston and get that four games out of the way.
Yeah.
Then go to Houston in late August when we think we're cruising and we find out that we're not.
Okay.
Learn get a it lot over about with. Yourself.
Take your medicine, you're saying. Just take it
yeah, early. I'm also in favor of them booking the schedule to a certain extent, like the way it is, like the first weeks, no games should be played outdoors or in the north.
Do you like that they're starting indoors for some?
Yeah, we shouldn't have like there's a chance of snow. We shouldn't have snowed out games. Shouldn't have rain. Like, be intelligent about it. I've seen people, like, every year that there are delays, we see someone go, you know, post like an infographic of like, this is how it should work. Like, the Yankees should play in Tampa to start the season. The Red Sox should play in Toronto because there you go, you're indoors. You should have the, you know, the Mets go down to, you know, Miami. You have the Phillies go to Atlanta. So there, you know, I just covered like the Easts. And there's a way to structure it where you're just like, you're decreasing the chances that
the Rockies go to California. And I see what you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah, and with interleague play, you know, you send someone to Seattle.
Right, right.
Because in California, you're probably all the California teams can host and they'll be fine.
That makes perfect logical sense, but there's something to me that feels wrong. This might be a spoiled Yankee fan take. Like, I want the Yankees to be at home on the first day of the season. Like, that's just how it's opening day. I'm going to Yankee Stadium. Starting on the road, it feels a little weird. It feels kind of like a tease. Like, I'm not taking the day off.
Yeah, I totally get that. Yeah, no, I mean, if I was going, I'm not, obviously, because it's WrestleMania. I would feel the exact same way. Like, you want to be at opening day. You know, it feels like the season is opening earlier and earlier every year. You know, I don't like the March start. There's just something about baseball that's April.
I hear you. And I do. The one thing I do like we open up on a Friday at home at 1 o'clock, Friday afternoon home opener. Like, that is really cool.
Yeah, I like the Friday open. I like the Thursday because it gives you the Friday. I always like build the flexibility into my work schedule that, like, if it's going to rain, like,
got to set up.
Because, like, if it gets rained out on Friday, you know, you're shit out of luck.
Well, here's the interesting thing about that. So if you look at the schedule, if the Yankees aren't on Fox, if it's not a national TV game, they normally play every Saturday home game at 1 o'clock. But this one is scheduled for 7 o'clock, the first Saturday home game. And I believe that's because obviously if opening day gets rained out on Friday, the opening day would be then Saturday at 1, and then they'd just play a doubleheader Saturday night. But that is going to be freezing if you were going, if you have tickets to that Saturday, April 6th or whatever, it's 7, that is going to be cold.
Dude, I'm going to be at WrestleMania outdoors at the Link.
I thought it was inside.
No. WrestleMania is a stadium show now.
So are you going, like, do you have a crew? Are you rolling solo? Like, how does this work?
I'm going with, like, so none of my, like, friends are into any of the things I'm into. Like, none of my friends like wrestling. None of my friends like the Yankees. Like, when I lived in New York and I was with Barstool and I'd go to 40 games a year, I could get everyone to come to a game. When it hit like August and I'm like, hey, I've got, you know, fourth row seats, legends, champions, whatever. My friends would be like, I already went to my game. Like, I don't fucking care. I'd have to like beg people to come.
Yeah, I've been there. Yeah, I've been there.
But at the same time, none of them like wrestling, you know, which whatever I get. So I'm going now that we live down here, my wife has a friend from high school who's into wrestling. Like, he goes to wrestling stuff, so he's become my wrestling friend. Because what I've done for years is for the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, I invite him and then like a girl they went to high school with who's like into wrestling over. So then my wife can't just go and like hang out in her bedroom. She's got to hang out because it's her friends from home. And so I had said, like, yo, I want to go to a WrestleMania. You've gone to like a bunch. I'm like, well, I'll pick one out, you know, as they like announce them. And like a week later, they announce Philly. So I'm at a certain level of disposable income where he was like, yo, can I just like go ham? Like, money's not really like a huge issue for you. And I was like, yeah, like send me what you want to do, but I'm probably going to say yes. So
you're paying for him.
No. Like, he also has, he doesn't have like kids or anything. But I'm willing to spend more than, he has other wrestling friends who are not willing to spend what I'm willing to spend. So he's kind of leaving his group for me.
So what do you get when you say more, like you're getting a suite? Like, what do you, when you say spending, like what?
I'm spending like $3,000 over the course of the weekend.
Wow. And you're just, you're like in hotels in Philly all weekend. Like, you're just MIA from home.
No, I'll be home every night.
Oh, okay. So you're driving back and forth.
Yeah. I'm just driving back and forth. Like I mean, we didn't talk about it, at all on here, but like I had a medical issue and I had part of my colon removed 2 weeks ago. So I've been sober for, like almost like 2 months now. And like, I'm a lot healthier. So I'm just kind of sticking with it.
Nice.
So like, yeah, so it's fine for me. I'm like, yo, I'll drive. I don't care.
Okay. No, that makes sense. And so it's just like there's events every, so there's something on Friday.
Like Thursday, I'm going to a podcast at 8:30, wrestling podcast where like I know the host. It was Rosenberg from Michael K.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like his show. I'm cool with his co-host. Then I'm going to Wale the Rapper, has Wale Mania. It's like a party. I'm going to be going with those guys too. So nice. I'll be there in the VIP. And then Friday, I'm going to the convention center for WWE World. The guy I'm going with like wants to, I don't know, go get autographs or whatever. Like, I'll go stand around. Like, that's the thing is, like, I don't care about meeting any wrestlers. I'm not going to be like wearing a belt. I might not even have like a wrestling shirt on. Like, I don't, you know, it's not like that. I just enjoy watching it. Then we go to SmackDown at the Wells Fargo Center at 8 o'clock. At 10 o'clock, it turns into the Hall of Fame till like midnight. Come home, back at Wells Fargo for their like minor league pay-per-view at it's like their AAA pay-per-view pretty much at 1 p.m. That'll go till 4. 5 o'clock, WrestleMania starts across the street. I'll come home that night. I'll go back for WrestleMania on Sunday night, come home, and I'll be back at Wells Fargo on Monday for Monday Night Raw.
Oh, into Monday. So during all that, are you going to be able to watch the Yanks on TV for the Friday home opener? Or are you just like missing that?
No, I'll be able to watch it because I'm going to watch that game and then go into the city.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Wow. You know what my big takeaway from that is? I feel like a lot of times when you have a baby on the way or you have kids, people be like, well, you'll never be able to go to a game again, or you'll never be able to do this again. I feel like me and you really defy that. Like, I feel like we still do all the shit that we want to do, even with young kids.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to go. It's the only WrestleMania I'm going to go to. Right. Like,
yeah,
you know, and it's here, it's right here.
Right.
I go, my wife just knows, like, I'm pretty much gone for the weekend. I'll be home at night. My buddy will stay in our guest room because it's just easier. Like, you know, I live closer to Philly than he does.
Yeah.
I'll be here in the morning to like see my kids, have breakfast, and I'll go to wrestling, and then I'll be back. Yes. I'm not going to be coming in like, you know, stinking like booze and shit.
Right.
That helps. There could be there's a lot worse that I could be out doing with $3,000, you know, like,
it's true.
Like, when I'm going to Virgin Fest, like, you know, there's no hookers at WrestleMania. I get to like a fair amount of, I still get, you know, if the Yankees were better, I'd get to more baseball games, but
You'll go to more this year. I feel like last year was like you only went to like two or three. Like, it was
really, I think I got to Yankee Stadium like three times, and I went to Baltimore.
Right.
Like, I'm already mapping out, you know, I'm going to Baltimore again, and I'm already like mapping out, especially if like I don't have plans to start drinking again like anytime soon. It makes it a lot easier if you're not going to drink to just fucking zip up and back.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're right. What are you going to do about the Philly series? Any of those?
I'll probably go to all of them. It's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Right? Yeah. But you said you're not doing like a suite or anything.
No, because like on the weekend, it's like easier to get a suite and or try to get a suite and get like a group of people. Whereas
right.
A Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday,
you'd have like me and maybe a couple
maybe
other people.
Maybe me, you, and your dad.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. No, literally.
So yeah, it'll be a combination of like, it'll depend on like your work schedule and what's going on, but I'll probably like one day I'll pick my girls up from school and like, we'll go and like with my wife and
right.
So we'll go and do that.
Yeah.
And I'll probably go the other two like by myself, or like I'll make my brother go with me, or, you know, or you'll be going, you know,
I got to say, with the Baltimore thing, we're all over the place here, but now that I live like a little bit more north and the Orioles are really good, it's not as appealing. It's like 2018, 2019. It's like, you know, you're seeing a win. Like, I lived closer. Judge and Sanchez are going to, and now it's like, oh, they might kick our ass and it's further away. It's just not as appealing.
Yeah. Now you got to worry about mass shooters running around in your neck of the woods.
Dude, crazy, man. That was nuts. Yeah. For those that don't know, there was an active shooter in my neighborhood on Sunday. But luckily he was detained or whatever. It was scary, man.
Yeah. Like, yeah, for Baltimore, it's like, it's even easier for me now from where I am. It's like,
it's
not even it's not even an hour and a half, and it's a 4 o'clock Saturday game this year. So I'm not even spending the night. I'm just gonna go down and come back.
Ah.
I'll get down there at like 12. I'll be back in the car. I'll be home before 9 o'clock.
Okay. So no hotel.
No.
All right. Maybe I will consider,
Cause again, I'm probably not drinking.
Right. Okay. Makes it a little bit more appealing. But for me, now that I'm within an hour and a half of the stadium, the road trips are not like, I feel like the closer you get to the home stadium, the less incentivized you are to go on road trips. That makes sense.
Yeah. You, at some point you'll just decide to start driving the games. You don't really drive to games.
I don't know how you drive around there's people in the street. Like I don't know where the signs are. Like you just whip through these back roads and stuff. Like I don't know if I could physically do it. Forget the drinking.
I remember the first time when I went with you and your dad, and your dad was like, how do you know where you're going? Like, you're not even looking at Waze.
Dude, yeah, it was like, crazy.
I just know where I'm going.
But yeah, we were blown away. Like, dude, I drive to, like, if I go to a Giant game, like I'll drive to, you know, Giant Stadium, like it's easy. You get on the highway, you park in a spot, but you're like, you know, whipping through side streets and back alleys. And then you know, we got the system with the parking attendants hooking you up with a spot. Like you have a whole system, man. I'm not on that level yet.
We'll get you there.
Good episode.
Yeah. Did we talk everything? Yeah. I mean, so back to the rotation, I still think it's Prey.
Yeah.
So like that concerns me. I'm worried, you know, with DJ now being out, you know, DJ's not going to be there for opening day. Right. And even if is, like, he's not DJ, like he's not the same guy. So that's concerning. And you know, we don't know what's going on with Judge. So like, there's a lot of question marks and still like 10 days for more injuries. Cause we always have a last week of the season injury.
So there were three, the last little topic here. So there were three veterans last year that basically gave us nothing: Stanton, Rizzo, and LeMahieu. And everybody's been talking about like, all right, which one of those guys is the best candidate to bounce back and give us something? And to be honest, it almost feels like the DJ thing is done because this is the same foot that's been bothering him for 2 years. So I'm almost taking him out of the equation. And all I want is one of these guys to do anything this year. And I'm really scared that we're going to go 0-3. On that.
Yeah. I mean, Stanton is hitting 250. So, you know, you got to love that. I mean, and, you know, some of these things are, we're not even in the full like lineup. So if we did get, you know, now with, if DJ's out, do you go to Verdugo to lead off, or do we go? Does Volpe get the shot?
I'm going Verdugo.
Volpe had a really good game the other day.
He's tearing it up in the spring and everybody's excited, but he tore it up last spring too. That's the only reason I'm not, like, I think he hit like 350 last spring and won the job and then showed up to opening day and forgot how to play baseball. So I hope he hits 280 or whatever this year and steals 40 bases, but like, I got to see it in the show, not in Tampa.
Yeah, I get it. He's hitting 333 and it feels like it's been coming along more and more. Yeah. You probably start off with Verdugo.
That would be huge. If Volpe had, I mean, like, you think it, like, that's a fourth guy. Like, Volpe, basically, I know we had the 20 homers, but we really did not get anything from him offensively. Like, he just gets something from that group of four. Be huge.
Yeah, I mean, you start off, if you go Verdugo, then you go Judge, then Soto.
Yes.
If Judge is there.
Yes.
And I think Soto said he'd rather bat third, right?
Yeah, I would just do that. And his OPS, his career OPS, is like 200 points higher hitting third than second. I wanted Verdugo to bat leadoff against righties, even when DJ was healthy. So I guess that's spin zone.
I think even if DJ is available for opening day, I think with the foot thing, like, you can't have your leadoff guy have a foot issue.
He can't. And he can't run even when he is healthy. Like, he's slow.
Yeah,
for
that's what
an
I'm saying.
Infielder.
Yeah.
The other thing is they've been talking. It was like, oh, they were going to look at Kike Hernandez. And I think Rosario was the other one with Peraza down and DJ down. Like, I'm sorry, Oswaldo Cabrera cannot be an everyday player on any team. I really hope they sign a backup infielder during the next 10 days.
Who is there anyone available that you have in mind? Josh isn't signed.
I was going to say Josh Harrison. I think can play third. Donaldson. He's retired. Oh, what a bad, that was such a bad trade. They have, like, I can't watch Oswaldo Cabrera go up there and hit grounders to the second baseman four times a night, like every night. I just can't do it. He's a nice guy, nice kid, whatever. I can't watch him hit.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Josh Harrison is a 36-year-old free agent who hit pretty bad last year. Well, he had a negative 0.8 ERA. War, and he hit 204 with two home runs.
I mean, buddy, there's the season starts in a week. The slim pickings out there. I don't.
Yeah, no, I mean, it. You know, we went from almost like I wanted to trade Glaber to like now we need him. We're like there is no ability to trade him. Like, because if everything else stayed the same, if everyone else was healthy, but you still had like Cole. You could talk about trading Glaber if, like, DJ was still healthy, trading Glaber for pitching.
Now you can't.
No, it's – we're in a tough position.
And we're already doing the, well, when everybody gets back thing. Like, I'm not – like, I hate that we're already doing
that. No, you're doing that. I'm not doing that.
I love how you just separated yourself from me on that.
I think Evan Longoria is still a free agent.
Did he retire?
Yeah, I mean,
he looked okay. Diamondbacks last year. That just has Troy Tulowitzki, Jay Bruce written all over it.
Yeah, he hit 223 last year with 11 home runs. He only had 211 at bats.
All right, so he's fresh.
Hell yeah, dude. He hasn't played more than 90 games since 2019. He's very fresh.
It's only 38.
Yeah, I mean, he had a 1.4 war last year.
Gene Segura's out there, he said?
Yeah.
He's okay.
Let's see what his stats were last year. Oh, he hit 219.
All right, what about
2022? 2022, he hit 277.
All right, there we go.
We're starting to... Somebody get Cashman on the phone. We've got ideas.
Yeah, 52 OPS plus last year. This one time all star.
Yeah, he was. Honestly, like trying to get Evan Longoria, I think isn't a terrible idea right now.
No, I mean it's better. I would rather have him at third than Oswaldo. If those are my two options to pick from. Do you remember when they brought in Tulowitzki and Cashman was like dead serious? Like he's fully healthy. Like he's back to
2013. Dude, I was so excited for Troy Tulowitzki.
Really?
When we got him. I just because like I like it when a guy who clearly wants to be a Yankee gets a chance to be a Yankee.
Yeah.
Like you always did brings, want like, to. Something extra. With Jeter's last season.
He skipped his own game. It was great.
And it's just like, all right, cool. Like, at least like he's going to bring it. And then, you know, he hit one home run. He's in that one home run club.
Him and Jay Bruce.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's all we got. It's just like a devastating time of year. But I think we figured out the Evan Longoria situation.
Yeah, we figured out third base. So next weekend we can do like our official. I feel like we usually do this like how many wins. We're not going to do a full whatever, but we'll make our little predictions.
Yeah, we'll figure that out next week. But
Yeah.
It sucks. It sucks, but we're having fun, right? We're having fun. You're going to be at the stadium soon. It won't take me long to be at the stadium. Let me see. I can probably pick out when I'm going to be
there. Go on 420, blaze one up, maybe.
Right? I mean, I haven't fully given that up. Well, I have lately, but yeah, I don't know. No, I can't. I could on 420. I have to go to Texas the next day.
I hate doing that, like going to a game the day before a work trip. It kind of sucks. Kind of takes the fun out of it.
Oh, dude, I'm not going to say who my client is, but I'm going, my client's having a convention. I get there on Sunday night, private Sheryl Crow concert.
Ooh.
Monday night, there's like a dinner and they have like stuff set up, whatever. Tuesday, Old Dominion, country band. I Googled top 10 Old Dominion songs. I listen to every one. I've never heard any of these in my fucking life. Like Florida Georgia Line, it'd be like, oh, I know this. Like I bopped along to never heard any of these songs. And then to close it out on Wednesday night, Luda.
Damn. Sounds
private.
Awesome.
Yeah, private Ludacris concert.
Wow. That sounds like a fun conference, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. Yeah. Oh, and it's Aaron Judge bobblehead day on 420.
That means, oh man, people are going to be lined up at 7 a.m. Yo, a lot of good promotions this year. You see the Costanza bobblehead. Yeah. There's a couple Cole bobbleheads. There's some jerseys, some hoodies. They're stepping up their game.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. It's, you know, very early in the season. My publicist is like in contact with the Yankees trying to have like book day in September and give away my children's book.
I'm there. You just got to let me know.
Because my dog is named after Susan Waldman. Like, Susan's going to promote the book on the broadcast this year. Like,
I generally only go to Friday games, but I will, even if it's a Tuesday or a Wednesday or whatever, I will.
Yeah,
I
would think like everybody I know has to go if I.
Yeah.
I mean, it's. Sure. I'm sure it's such a long shot, but they're trying.
That would be fun. What about I'm sure you could get it for like Somerset Patriots or.
Yeah, I don't want who's as much.
Okay.
We're also trying for the Phillies because they have Bark and Park.
Right. Yeah. The Yanks don't do any of that, like dollar dog night or regular dog night or any of that.
$15 beer night every night.
Every night, baby.
Every night special. All right. Well, I think that's all we got. Follow the show at George's Box Pod. Follow follow Nick at NKirbyNYY. Intern Jack is not with us because on Monday nights, he takes American Sign Language as a college class. So we've got to figure out the schedule to work with him through the rest of
college class ends like end of April, so he'll be fine.
Is that how it works?
College ends in like early May.
Maybe.
We should probably ask him.
I don't know. I went to Drexel, so it was like it went till the end of June.
Oh, you were one of those. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I have no idea. Like, we didn't get like January off. Like, I have no idea how college schedule works because it was pretty much the same as high school. It starts in September, ends in June.
It's wild.
Yeah. Follow me at JJ from the Bronx. And Evan Longoria will take us to the parade, and we'll see you there.